Good evening, folks. Hope you're all doing well. Welcome to a Wednesday night's Big Footy Tiger Cast. Just a bit of a random show, but we're going to just record some offline videos. We thought, you know what? Let's just do a live show and get stuck into it and get amongst the Tiger Cast family out there. So we thought we would, we'll jump on. CB, welcome, mate. How are you going?
Good, thank you. Firstly, happy. Hope everyone had a really good long weekend. Happy Australia Day to everybody. And the only downside to having a long weekend is, particularly after Christmas, now work starts. So we've got to get knuckled down and have a bit of a work now and get into it. But no, life is good. And missed all you guys, and hello to everybody out in viewerland.
Now, before we push on, you do have to stand up and show off the rig, and more importantly, the training top that you've got on. Look at that, the red and silver Richmond training guernsey.
Does the light, can any the logo.
Can anybody tell us what year that was from? I was trying to look it up quickly and I lucked out. I'm thinking it was like 2009, 10, 11, somewhere around there, but that's just a complete guess. But yeah, keen to hear if anyone knows where that's from. The old Cougar Guernsey. God, on the extra small there.
Can I just say, this is like a corset. I'm struggling to breathe. I'm probably going to about three people peel this thing off me by the end of the show. It's horrific. Nah. Actually, I'm wrapped. I could still fit into it. So, going okay.
Yeah, it's an interesting, as you were saying, it was just interesting that we rolled with a training guernsey that has no reference to the colours whatsoever. But, I remember actually really liking that one back in the day as well, but I'm not sure I would like it as much these days. I do like the all yellow one that we roll with currently.
Had the number eight on it.
Number eight. Very nice. So, looks like Sydney Swans. Yeah, fair enough.
I claimed Jack early.
Very early, yes. Well, it's a very good claim, Jack Rewalt. Jesus. All right, so we'll get stuck into it. There's been a little bit happening, I suppose, in the Richmond off-season. First and foremost, I think it's 20 days until our first practice game against West Coast. Thank goodness football's almost back, which is really, really good to see. So with the West Coast game playing over there on a Monday, the time slot's not very favourable for doing a live call. But that aside, what are you hoping for us to get out of this West Coast practice game? And same for everyone watching in chat, what are you wanting to see for this West Coast practice game, given it's not the official one?
Me or the audience?
Yeah, or everybody.
To be honest, my first and foremost after the scarring of last year is just, this is the time of year where you get really nervous about injuries. And take St Kilda as a case in point. Look at those guys already. So St Kilda have traded out Membry and Battle.
Yep.
Now they've lost Marshall, Howard, and who's the other young fellow?
Filippo, who was actually just lighting it up on the track.
Gun. So, and he's a gun. So for me personally, it is just, if we can just get through, get a bit of game time in, let's have a look at the kids. It'll be exciting to see what the young ones bring. But, personally, I'm just like, if we can just get through as clean a bill of health, I'll take that.
And do you reckon we'll be taking an extreme, I know we're a young side anyway, but are we going to go full-blown youth, or is it going to be just whoever's the fittest, whether that's old, new, or whatever, whoever they're just the ones that go over?
Look, Lynch is going to need a run. So yeah. do you give him a run this one and you give him extra time off, or do you go skip him and don't put him on the plane? So the question, would you put Prestia on the plane and would you leave those guys in Melbourne, the older guys, and go, okay, yeah. Well, your forward line, I know Cozzy's been training in defence, but all of a sudden you're going to go, well, maybe Cozzy has to go. Well, Sam, yeah, okay, so Samson Ryan, there you go. So probably Nank goes to your ruck and Samson Ryan plays full forward, for example, and switches into your ruck.
Yeah, I reckon I would almost leave Prestia home. I'd leave Nank home and I would let Samson Ryan do full number one ruck duties on the back of my thoughts that I think he might be gearing himself to take over the number one ruck mantle at some point. Broad's probably okay. He's had a pretty clean bill of health most of his career. Hopper, you'd be up in the air about, but I think you would probably almost certainly leave, Nank and Prestia behind, and you would even consider leaving Lynch behind as well. Yeah. But if he doesn't play that one, I think all three have to play the Collingwood one if they're obviously on track to play round one. They have to have a game in before we hit round one.
100%. Now, question without notice, because the time we've done our preseason camp, etc. Hands in air, Tyron Vickery. Remember, Tyron Vickery was like the leading mark taker of invisible balls all those years ago. Yeah. Old Tyron. Probably the question we need to knuckle down the leadership at some stage.
Yeah.
So is Nankervis staying as captain, or is there going to be another vote?
It's interesting, isn't it? There's been really nothing from the club. And I think whatever happens in this space, I think is going to dictate how we use Samson Ryan this year. I reckon if Nank relinquishes captaincy, and like I want to be clear, I think it should be totally his choice if he wants to step aside or not. And if he does, then I kind of feel like at some point during the year, we're going to look to be pushing Samson as the number one ruck, given that Nank's 30, Tassie's around the corner as well. There could just be a few things at play there. If Nank does hold on to captaincy, I think he'll play bulk of the year. But from all the videos and stuff you see on the club website, it just sort of screams Taranto and Broad to a lesser extent, doesn't it?
It's funny. There's a push. A lot of fans would be happy to see Broady take the captaincy. But the problem is with Broady, he's only got 2 years left in it. So it just makes sense that Taranto would take us. He's got, you know, 5 years of the gig, if that makes sense. So,
yeah.
You know, I think, pardon me. Now, two things. RFC Center, I saw your comment earlier about Uzi. Uzi is a 38-year-old flat track bully, mate. He did nothing in the summer against the actual, on a wicket that was doing a bit. Uzi was nowhere. He goes to Sri Lanka. There is absolutely no venom in the pitch, and he's belting the suitcases out of a second-rate Sri Lankan attack. I'll just say that for starters. But on Hopper, I saw his comment about Hopper. I think probably Hopper and Taranto probably do have to go over. So you could play on ball against West Coast. You could actually have Hopper, Taranto, if McAuliffe is up to it, maybe Lawler. You probably give those guys a bit of a run, depending.
Yeah.
That's my thoughts.
Yep. No, I think that's fair enough. And Hopper's seems to be ticking a lot of boxes pre-season as well. I've seen a few people make notes the first time for a while. They've seen him training unimpeded, no strapping, no limping around or anything like that. So it could be his first real crack at a pre-season for a while. So I think, yeah, you keep that momentum going. He seems like he's putting forward quite a few leadership traits as well on field, given the lack of elder players out there. So it's, yeah, I wouldn't be against that. There's going to be some spots up for grab, though. What about, I'm thinking like different parts of the ground and what we want to see, for example, but half back line, I would love to see Caleb Smith up there on the half back line. Him and Trezise, if Tom Brown, I'm assuming, probably won't play if he's still got the non-contact hat on at various stages. But I wouldn't mind seeing Caleb Smith and, yeah, Trezise on half back flanks at some point in this West Coast game.
Well, this is the thing. I know we're copping a bit of a pasting and the expectation is low on Richmond this year. But Trezise is third year in?
Yeah, I think
he's good. So Trezise is third year in. Sam Banks, third year in?
Well, I'd have to check. It'd be close. It'd be thereabouts.
Yeah, thereabouts. Brown, third year in. So also, we've got a few boys. If past that second year Blues, what I'm saying is guys like Trezise and that, they're going to start that growth again. Mm. And I think I rate Trezise. I really like him as a footballer. So, yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing those two travel down. And they've had some senior experience.
Yeah, I like Trezise as well. He's just been a little bit unlucky with copping injuries once he gets into a bit of form at AFL level. And I do respect that he trains with a bucket hat on. I love that. Love seeing the videos and the footage of him rocking the bucket hat. But I think he will be a really good addition. And I really do think that both of them, in a lot of ways, are auditioning for the halfback role left by Dan Rioli.
Yeah. Like Ross, the fact that they played him in the intro as an inside mid, because that's where Jack Ross was as a junior. So I really like the fact that we might be trialing that. The wing will be an interesting, like, if I think Hugo's got a mortgage on one of the wings.
Yeah.
I don't think Camden McIntosh has a mortgage on the other. So if Jack Ross is now going in as an inside mid or a starting mid, fascinated to see what we do there in that space.
Yeah, well, I put up a video the other day of Camden McIntosh based on some inside word and some, you know, some footage that we've seen of training anyway. But the whispers are that he's being redeployed as a defensive midfielder, which has severely divided people on. And there's a lot of people, there's actually a lot of Camden hate, which I really don't get, if I'm being honest. But a lot of people are not wanting to see him in the side altogether. Some say it could work for us. And I don't think it's going to be him playing midfield as a starting defensive mid in a full-time capacity. But I won't be shocked if he rolls through there at various stages. And maybe if we are leaving a few other players behind, this is a time to try and see how it goes.
Personally, I'm a no to the idea. I just think, I know he's a fantastic gut runner. He's tough. He's hard. Not for me.
I don't.
You're smarter than me in there, the club.
So. I'm the other way, only from a balance perspective, because I think some of the other players that are in there are a little bit too offensive minded, which isn't a bad thing. But I just know that we've been trounced on coming out the middle quite a few times in previous years, and we need to find a way to arrest that. And if it's not him, it needs to be somebody else who's going to sacrifice their game to actually do some defensive work in there. And this is where I'm spewing that MRJ's had a bit of an interrupted preseason, because he would have been my first choice because of his speed and his tenacity chasing the man or the man with the ball. But I don't know whether he's going to be in a position to play round one, unfortunately.
Well, he was there involved in the training. Like if you look at the training video the club dropped today, they were all there. So,
yeah,
Rioli was running. Oh, look, no, I mean, we're only, geez.
It's still a long way away. Yeah.
So, long way to go. I wouldn't be red inking anyone for round one yet, apart from Noah Bolter, which we know about.
The other one who we are red inking for round one, unfortunately, is Josh Gibkiss, who sounds like this keeps getting pushed further back and back, which is a little bit concerning, I suppose, on one hand. Because, it's been well over, it will have been well over a year since the Rico. I think there was a couple of documented little setbacks he might have had. I just get this gut feel we're not going to see him until the midway point of the year, which is a little bit disappointing. But if it's because the club are taking an ultra-cautious approach because of his age, he's got time on his side, then I'm all for it. But I just really hope there's nothing else at play here.
So is it a hamstring reoccurrence, or is it – because I've heard this, it's a hamstring reoccurrence.
Is it? I've not really heard one way or another. And, the club's report doesn't really mention it either, I don't think. It just talks about some of the younger kids, all the update was is that the Gibkiss won't be available for the early rounds of the season. Underwent surgery to repair his hamstring after significant strain, which was backed up by his ACL injury. So he's had two traumatic injuries season on season, which is why what we decided to do was to take a conservative approach. So it reads like it is just an ultra-conservative approach, and I really hope that's all it is. I hope there's nothing more to it and there's no other setbacks, because he's a big part of our lineup, hopefully in the future.
See, I heard, and I think it was reported, he had a minor procedure back on the knee in December, possibly as well. So at the end of the day, he's only a young kid. He's got plenty of time on his side, and we do the one thing we do have is a few tall key stocks these days. So we'll see.
And the other injuries that popped up were, a mild injury setback to Smiley, who had a bit of a hamstring injury. Now, I don't know about everyone else, but it didn't read like it was a full-blown hamstring tear. It read more like soreness or awareness. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I read that incorrectly.
It was in the training video today, he was piffing balls in, and he was walking fine. It wasn't like a limp or anything like that. So,
Maybe it was just some awareness of the hamstring injury or, the area given his workload and things like that. Because he seems like the kind of player who's just a bull at a gate, wants to do everything. So maybe they're just trying to rein him back in ever so slightly. But hopefully he's right to go for the Perth game. And the other player that copped a bit of a knock in the match simulation the other week was Jasper Elgar, who has been doing really, really well in pre-season. But again, he was on the track today doing some limited duties with some strapping on the leg. So hopefully, I think it was a hyperextension of the knee. Scans came back all good, which is good. Hopefully we see Jasper back into full work very shortly.
RFC Centre just confirming, he said that Gibbs just had a scar tissue clean out. There you go. So.
Okay, which set him back. Well, yeah, hopefully that that gets sorted. But, yeah, so a couple of little niggles there. But Smiley and Elgar, not too concerned. I know there was probably a little bit of concern from some people until the club came out and confirmed otherwise. But, yeah, it seems like it's all okay.
It's funny. So Dean Gall has just asked a question about Lafau. So the club is reporting that he's coming along very, very well. But, again, I guess with 8 ACLs at the club last year, 5 on the senior list, 3 in the VFL program, the word is caution. They're taking a very cautious approach to everyone. Judson Clark's ahead of the pack, apparently, in his rehab. And even then, they're holding him back as well. But they reckon, Lafau looks like he's dropped a ton of weight. Like, he's looking bloody fit. Looks really good. So, I guess it's really round 5 and beyond that we'll see a few of these guys start getting salted back into the VFL program.
What's everyone's thoughts on Judson Clark? I really like him, and I would love for him to get some serious AFL game time. Could you see him stepping straight in CB once he's... Well, maybe not. When I say straight in, I mean providing that form warrants it. But do you think he's the type of player that can adapt up to the level quick enough to get back in this season?
Well, he's proven he can. He's proven he can play at the level, so... just not consistent enough. But look, I think he has a future long term playing some senior footy at the club for sure. Just don't know how soon he gets back.
It'd be interesting to see, how he progresses. And if nothing else, it's going to make our VFL super exciting to watch this year. If they're not playing AFL, it's going to be all eyes on the VFL. There could be some record crowds at Punt Road, I reckon. It's going to be huge.
Yeah, well. We haven't had this level of excitement for a long time with players, new fresh blood coming in. So it's wonderful.
Yeah, exactly right. Oh, there you go. Juddy's so ready to play. He bought your mate's bike over the holidays. Very good, Greg. Well, that's good to hear that he's ready to go. So I would love to see him playing. A few people saying they wouldn't mind seeing Juddy Clark on a wing. Interesting, because I probably had, and I said to you off air, I had Sam Banks as my other wingman, but Juddy Clark, if fit, I think is another very viable option, isn't he?
Doesn't have
the same height as the other, doesn't have the same height as what a Banks or a Cameron McIntosh does in terms of your strong marking. But I think from a running capacity perspective, dual sided as well, it could be, a very viable choice. I don't mind that at all.
Yeah.
The other massive news that hit Punt Road and caused an absolute shitstorm in the media, heaven forbid, two players have a bit of argy-bargy at training, Mansell and Short. I think it's only a couple of days before that the Warner brothers were going each other at Sydney. I don't mind it. I honestly couldn't believe that it even made a headline and was blown up. And some of the comments on Twitter and Facebook from opposition people, it just proves that we've still got it, folks. We still live rent-free in opposition supporter heads because they were losing their mind over this. And that is just a simple case of Mansell, as we all know, would be an absolute pain in the ass to play on because of the type of player he is. And I mean that from a loving point of view as a Richmond supporter because it works well for us. And he was just doing his job, undoubtedly, making Jaden Short's life difficult. And they had a bit of a tussle. And I'm sure they had a laugh about it afterwards. But my gosh, that was blowing up something shocking.
Do you reckon with the Warner brothers, do you reckon they did the old Voss joke where Michael said to Brett once, "My dad slept with your mum"? you reckon they've reeled out that old classic?
Or a Mark and Steve Waugh that you're not even the best cricketer in the family?
Correct, yeah. But look, at the end of the day, it's probably the most fight we've shown on a football field since 2020. So if blokes have showing a bit of aggro on a track, that's fine, mate. They were laughing and smiling. I don't think friendship's been split apart over it, put it that way.
No. Wouldn't have thought so. I just couldn't believe that it was blown up and made out to be something that it clearly wasn't. So, and that's a very good point. Don't argue. At least he didn't do a Satana or help. And that was one of the more bizarre things that you'll ever see on the training track.
But, he kicked a cloak in the nuts. Now, we've all wanted to kick the cloaks in the nuts after his old man shafted the club with the Suns, but, a bit rough.
Did I read, Vince Reck is asking, did I read that from the ACL boys, Houghton's most advanced? I think, as CB said before, Juddy Clark is the most advanced. Houghton, I imagine, would be right to go from about May, June onwards, just based on timelines when his ACL happened. But I think from what I've heard and read, that he is out on the track doing basic rehab running and some basic ball work, which is all he can be expected to do at this stage. But he will definitely be a one to watch once he is out training full time, I reckon. I just have this weird feeling that Taj Houghton's going to storm into the scene and be bashing down the door for a spot in the ones quicker than most.
Oh, I think, look, he's he looks like an absolute freak. He's highlight reel, but again, let's not put any pressure on the kid. Let's just let him bubble and froth away, and when he's ready to go, he's ready to go.
That's it. And speaking of highlight reels, I just want to flag that in the coming week or so, I will be posting up some videos of Louis Callaway's highlights and Jack Lee's highlights. So they have been extraordinarily hard to find. They are not available on just random channels. So I've had to, a bit going on behind the scenes to get it done and watching out, like literally sitting here watching hours of footage, taking snapshots of different bits of passages of play. It's been mind numbing. But the takeout is that, Louis Callaway, I'm not minding the look of. He's a father-son prospect for this year. And Jack Lee's is a 2026 prospect as a father-son. So keep an eye out for those. But it's finally good to see, CB, that we may be on the right end of some father-sons in the coming years. We've got those two. I think the Tambling twins are coming through in 2029. There's another Callaway. There's another Lee's. There's Daffy. There's a Bowden. There's a few players running around.
Can I just say your work productivity must be really high at the moment?
No, I do it all at night. I'm just there with the computer going through. Just going through all the different footage. And to your point, Jones Racing, watch him change the rules so we don't get him. It'll be extraordinary if that happens. But so keep an eye out for those videos in the coming days. But I did put another video out with my rolling best 22 for round one, which has drawn some heat from various angles. So I thought I'll read out that team again, and then CB, you can go through your team or critique my team, whichever way you want to do it. So,
well, my team's very rushed, as you know, as I've done no prep for tonight. So you go first, and I'll see if
that's right. I'll read out mine first. So the round one rolling 22. Now I base mine off a lot of what we were able to see and read from preseason trainings and stuff like that. But I've gone Ben Miller at fullback, who doubles as my backup ruckman. Nathan Broad and Nick Vlosten in the back pockets. Half-back line of Jaden Short, Jacob Blight, and Tom Brown. On the wings, I've got Sam Banks and Hugo Ralph-Smith. Half-forward line, Sammy Lawler, Liam Fawcett, and Ryan Mansell. Full-forward line, Seth Campbell, Jacob Bauer, Tom Lynch. Nank in the ruck, Prestia, Hopper, Taranto in the middle. And then Jasper Elger, Jack Ross, Camden McIntosh, and Smiley on the bench. So just to go through some reasoning behind some of these while you jot down some other names as well. Jacob Blight, I just feel, I know there's been a little bit of commentary about Kaczynski doing some really good work on training as a defender. I just feel like Jacob Blight could give us a very similar output but has a higher ceiling. So the payoff probably seems a bit more favorable to go for a Jacob Blight for long-term reasons. And he seems to have hit the ground running in his training as well. So I'd like to see him there. Tom Brown on the half back line, you could argue putting him on the wing, half forward, or anywhere, but I think he's going to probably do his best work at half back. I'm trying to think of the controversial ones I've got here. Liam Fawcett, look, I think as Tiggs has mentioned earlier on a previous show that we are probably looking to play three tools. I just think Fawcett's probably got an extra year on like your Armstrongs, and obviously Jonty Fall hasn't done too much training, but the argument's going to be Samson Ryan as the counter argument, I suppose, from a lot of people. My thing is with Samson Ryan, whilst he does play reasonably well up forward at VFL level, I think for him to make it as a footballer, for me, he's got to be doing 60% ruck work. And I don't know if we can achieve that if he's playing at centre half forward. So I'm happy to give the tap a go and see what happens there. And then bench wise, Jasper Elger, I know he copped that knock, and I did this team a week before that actually happened, but I really do think he's a smoky for a round one debut. I think it seems hard for him not to be an AFL footballer. Even though he's the youngest player we've got, he's clean at ground level, he's ferocious at the ball and the play with the ball, and I really like what he brings. And Camden McIntosh, I've got in there purely to be the defensive midfielder as per what we mentioned before. So that's who I've got in as my 22 for the moment for January. It could change by Feb, then again in March. But what are your thoughts there, CB? What have I got right? What have I got wrong? And who are you going with for yours?
So I've got Short, Miller, Broad, Brown, Blight, Floston. I was tempted to actually play Kaczynski ahead of Blight. He was an All-Australian centre half-back as a junior, so he can play the position. I've got Hugo on the wing, Taranto on the guts, Banks on the other wing.
Yep.
I've got Lawler, Bauer, Campbell as my half forward line. I've got MRJ, Lynch, and Mansell as my deep forwards.
Yep.
I've got Nankervis, Hopper, and Jack Ross as my starting mids. Actually, I've got to make a change here. I've just dropped McIntosh. And then for my interchange, I've got Armstrong, Prestia as my sub, Smiley, McAuliffe in, and it's a toss-up for me between Alga and Green, Steely.
And Steely, yep, fair enough.
He was playing some very good forward pressure work before he got injured last year, towards the end of the year, so he was very, very good. So, I don't know.
There's plenty of options there, and that's the good thing. And I know that I haven't included Maurice Rioli Jr. in my team, and that's probably just on the back of I just haven't been sold with what he's been getting through at training so far. So, like I said, this is as of now. Obviously, a lot's going to change between now. Chances are in February and March, he's training the house down, and I'll put him in. But, yeah, all things being equal, I think he will probably be in the side. But, yeah, the main problem I've got with my side, and I think it's so hard, the midfield of Taranto, Hopper, and Prestia, I don't necessarily like that. But it's what I think we'll end up doing. I still think that's too slow. Do you reckon that combination's too slow? I know they're our most experienced and probably our best midfield players at the moment. But do you think from a speed perspective, both offensively and defensively, is it too slow of a midfield to put all three in the guts at the same time?
Well, that's where I wanted...
That's where you went Ross, wasn't it? You went all McCall.
That's where, but also, like, I'd love to see Steely Green and MRJ get a run through there.
Yeah.
To mix it up with a bit of outside speed. Yeah. And that's where, again, I know what you're saying about Camden McIntosh, but the guy's 32. He's not getting any he's not getting any quicker. So with Hopper, unfortunately, is a very good extractor, but he's not that quick. Taranto is an excellent extractor, not that quick. So you've got to find something. And if you put Prestia in there, like Prestia's he gets the pill. Doing hand movements like Donald Trump, I don't understand why I do that. So we just need to find that thing. And if they're trialing Jack Ross in, I really want to see how Jack Ross goes as an inside mid, because I think him and McAuliffe could do some very, very good things this year in the middle.
Jack Ross has really, really impressed me on the most recent training videos as well. He just seems to be in every passage of play. And the one thing I've noticed about him, while he's not a fast, fast runner, I reckon he runs smart. He gets to the right spots and uses his energy and his awareness correctly to get, you know, a bit more of an advantage in contests. So I think the experiment of a wing's kind of over for him. But I do also think he's got the tools to make it as a fully fledged inside mid at AFL level.
So the focus, one of our preseason focuses has been speed of ball movement. They've really worked hard on that transition through the middle. So, and as Tiggs has said on the show before, which is true, you don't have to be the quickest team on the park. It's just how skilled you are and how quick you can move that ball through skill, right?
Yeah.
So, I'm really keen. But we've got speed on the wings, got some really good skilled defenders. Yeah, it'll be interesting. It'll be an interesting mix. Now, the question I ask the people, so I put out on Twitter to get on the Talking Tigers podcast, I am buying stocks in Jacob Bauer this year. I think if he can get a run at it, this kid could be anything. He's I love his attack at the ball. He's quick. He can kick a goal. We've seen that. Yep. He just needs a run at it. And I think this is the year, if Jacob Bauer can stand up as a key forward or one of the key forwards between Lynch is Lynch, but we need another two to stand up. If he can get that nail that spot, I think we can win win some games of footy.
I agree. I'm with you. I'm all over Jacob Bower. I think it was he played a game late last year. I think it was against Hawthorn from memory, where he was clunking plenty of grabs, but was maybe just not backing himself to kick for goal like he probably should. But yeah, he's got all the qualities to be a really, really good player. He's obviously going to keep putting on some more size, I guess. Do we see him as like a Gunston type forward? Is that the kind of forward we're thinking he's going to be? Like, he's not the big, brutal Tom Hawkins, Tom Lynch type player. Is he more that hybrid Jack Gunston kind of forward?
I think so. I think, and I mean, so you look at Armstrong. I keep reading Armstrong as a bigger version of a Bailey Fritz type, right? Who's good on the lead, but when you look at his highlights, he's great on the lead, but Armstrong can actually split a pack. Whereas Bower's fearless. Like, he goes into packs as well. So whereas Gunston's good on a lead.
No.
Bower flies from as well. So
he's gonna float. He's gonna float over and across a few packs, I reckon, Bower.
For the guys who are my vintage, sort of 45 plus, I've taken a couple of years off my clock there for the record, Michael, because I thought I'd be a bit sneaky there. for the guys of my vintage, for some reason, Bower reminds me of a bigger version of Michael Pickering, for those who remember. The way he sort of flies in at the ball, that's kind of how I see it. And on Bower, Kiwi Tiger has wrapped him as well and said he's one to watch. So if Kiwi says it, I'll back him in.
Yeah, absolutely. I've only heard very, very positive things about his work at the club this year. And I know there's been a couple of weeks where I think he's had the non-contact hat on, so I'm not sure if there's just some injury management going on there, but I'm super excited to see what he can bring. And all the youngsters, for that matter. I think it's just going to be a different experience going to the football this year. Like, you're no longer walking in with the expectation that we're going to win every game. We know that. But we're going to go there expecting some energy, some enthusiasm, some real hunt for the contest, and hopefully some resemblance of a game plan, because we didn't really see that last year. It's going to be a fascinating season.
Look, last couple of years have been very hard. We've had a lot of transition. So we've had a coach that walked out on us. Brendan Gale's left us. Peggy's gone. We've had club legends retiring. We've had so much go on. We got rid of a coach a month before the season ended last year. We've had so much change and transition that this could be our chance. And also, you know, the reality is Baker loved the club but was torn between what he was doing. And that impacted him second half of the year. Rioli played his absolute nuts off but wanted to go up north to daddy, which is fine. Jack Graham, the reality was he'd been looking for 2 years, or we put him on the market as well.
Yeah.
So there was that. So all of a sudden, we got a chance to bed with a new crop of players. We got a chance to bed down a new culture and drive it forward.
Agree. Like, I don't think many clubs could have come through successfully going through the shit that we were going through, losing all that experience, the admin stuff. It just wasn't going to work for us. But anyway, we're in 2025 now. It's a clean slate and it's exciting. Tom Lynch has been one of the names that you keep seeing training really, really well. More importantly, CB, he's doing all of the sessions at a really good level, which is probably something we haven't seen or heard from him doing for quite some time. And I don't want to pin the hopes all on one player, but I can't help but feel the amount of wins that we get in 2025 is going to really depend on how many games he plays and how well he can stay on the park. What do you think about Tom Lynch's season? How important is he to us? And what do we need to get out of him in order to, let's say, scrape together 5 wins.
We need to get 16 to 18 games out of Tom Lynch. If he goes down early, reading the season, we need this guy. Like, and for those who play cricket with me, and Skirls isn't on watching the show tonight, they will know I believe deeply in the sporting gods. And the moment I say someone is flying or someone, I guarantee you something bad will happen. So all I'll say is I don't want to get too worked up and say too much about it, but on how Tom Lynch is going this offseason, because, man, we need him. We need him bad. Same with Dion Prestia. So that's where I've got Prestia as my sub. I think, I mean, how do people take Lynch out? Let's go to Dion Prestia. Do people want to see Dion try and get through full games? or do they want to see Dion Prestia maybe do two quarters and a bit, then he goes off, someone comes in, or do you have Smiley on for the first half of the game, and then when the heat's out of the game a bit, then do you bring on Dion Prestia into a third quarter when the sting's out a bit? What do you do with Dion? Because it's a bit the dilemma with Dion, we'll call that. What do we do?
Yeah. While people are answering that, feel free to send through some questions as well that we'll answer before we wrap it up. So fire away with any questions you've got. We'll answer a few before we close out. But it's interesting. Like, obviously, Prestia has been touted as wanting to do some coaching as well. So I definitely see him as an on-field leader, and maybe him starting a sub, he can do some extra coaching on the bench when players come on and off the ground and give some more guidance there as another set of eyes and ears at ground level for Uze. So there's probably a bit of a multi-benefit there as well. But I dare say we will see him in some type of sub role during the year, I guess. But it was interesting to see earlier in the preseason that his approach so far is just to go hell for leather, and whatever happens, happens. Like, he doesn't want to just ease into it. He wants to push his body and try and get the most out of it. And he's probably looking the fittest he's been for a little while.
Yeah, but you know what? It's not about what Dion wants. It's what's good for the team. So
true.
If there's a better way we can use him, then that's what we do.
Yeah. Yeah. So the sub's an interesting spot, though, isn't it?
Well, it is. But, when he comes on, he actually impacts. So if you can get two and a bit quarters out of Dion Prestia, Jake Sharp, trainer's going really, really well. Apparently, one of the match sims, he looked fantastic. So. And he was with my youngest child, who had a mate trying. He was one of the Gibby Power VP VC was one of his mates. When we drafted Trainer, my son was just like, "We've got the steal of the draft." He actually rated him probably the highest out of most of them. He said he's an absolute superstar.
So, yeah, right.
Yeah, we've got one there, but
we haven't seen enough of him. Like. You hear things, but I want to hear and see more of him, but maybe we're trying to keep him hidden. I'm not sure. Where do you think he's going to play his best footy, though? I know that's probably a really hard question to answer given he's been at the club for 5 minutes, but I don't think he's got the size currently to play as a key defender, although that's what he played in at like Coates League level. Could he be a taller wingman? Like, he's got some serious skill and he's good aerially as well.
The problem is, mate, Nathan Broad signed a two-year deal. So he's got... Ideally, he's actually Nathan Broad's ideal replacement, 193, 194 centimetres, or Vlost, maybe even with kids getting bigger these days. Maybe he's Nick Vlosten's replacement one down the line. But at the moment, he's not putting Short, Miller, Broad, Vlosten, Blight, Bolter and Brown. He's not knocking them out, even probably Trezise is ahead of him. He's not knocking those guys out of the defensive six. He's just not.
Yeah. I think he will get some game time in 2025. I'm almost certain of that. I just don't know whether it's going to be the start, middle, or end. But when we picked him, I was kind of with your young fella that I reckon he's going to be one of the biggest steals of the draft too. I was staggered that he got to that pick. But at the same time, the reason why we took players like Houghton and Trainer is because of the multiple picks that we had, we could take the risk. Other clubs only had one or two picks and had to go with a more surer thing. Right. I reckon the concussion was blown up a bit more than what it was, to be honest. That's my gut feel. I don't think it was as bad as what was made out. There was another question that came through from Steam Team. Where do we see Tim Taranto playing when Smiley, Lawler and McAuliffe are sort of up and running? Where should Tim go? What do you reckon, CB? I reckon he probably still leads the charge there.
To be honest, I think so. But, I mean, this is the exciting thing by... drafting this midfield in, we've got options there. Now, the sad thing is now you would think we get a bit of depth with Dow. What's his name? Sonzi. We've got a few of those blokes too, which are a bit of depth now. So if something happens, we've actually got some players to come in. But look, to be honest with you, Tim Taranto is a starting midfielder for us every day of the week for the next few years.
Yeah.
Just reality. Yeah. So it's up to Smiley and Lawler and those guys to grow, develop and knock them out, even maybe Seth Campbell, down the line. Jack yeah, Ross, you know.
And to Dabo's point, that Lawler's going to play forward for a little bit as well. I'm not saying exclusively forward, but that's where he's going to rotate to. But I think Timmy Taranto is probably one of the pillar stones of our midfield for the next 5 to 6 years. And there's every chance he could be doing it as captain in the coming seasons as well.
Correct.
There's that too. From Solar, do we think that we'll go all in for Tom DeConing in free agency? Now, I think we would be stupid not to, because the kid can seriously play. There was a point during the season where there's about 5 weeks in a row, he was smashing everybody from pillar to post, and he was one of the best ruckmen in the comp. Look, I ultimately think that DeConing will stay at Carlton, but I think every other club would be crazy.
We're not going to see an article, Tom DeConing to Geelong like everybody else.
Yeah, he'll be on a Cotton On deal at some point. I think every club will be asking the question and throwing some coin. The beauty is, though, guys, is that, and I say this without bias, that we will be the most cashed up club in the AFL currently for chasing players. With the money that we've lost on the books from the Dusty money, the Rioli money, the Bolton money, the Baker money, Lynch's money's almost gone. Like, we are going to have some serious cash to throw around. And whether that's at a DeConing, I still think Ed Richards would be a good target for the free agency, but that's just a personal opinion. And then there was the Harley Reid talk that, look, like I said, every club's going to ask Harley Reid the question until he signs. But again, if we're going to have the coin to put a serious financial offer in front of him to make him at least contemplate it, I think.
Well, don't forget, not only do we have the cash, we'll have the actual draft picks to facilitate deals as well.
That's right. And that was the interesting thing, because on the video I put out about the free agency targets and trade targets, there was actually a few West Coast supporters who commented on the video saying that they also agree that if Harley was to want to go, for example, that we would be the ideal and preferred club because we do have the currency to help them, and they're going after Warner and a whole raft of things. So we actually tick a lot of boxes for a lot of different clubs, but it's just whether... I think the hardest part is honestly convincing a player to want to play for us given our current ladder position. Like, you've got to kind of sell them the vision and the dream that we're going to be rising in a few years with all these young kids and things like that. So it's that, I think, might be the hardest part.
But keep in mind the expectation the club internally is as well. They don't think we're going to be down for too long.
They don't, no. So you're still going to say it's going to be at least 3 years, I reckon. But when I say down, I don't mean necessarily bottom down for 3 years. There should be incremental gains there.
I think we win the first of our three-peat in 2027.
Ooh, let's put that on the record. 9:20 p.m., 29th of Jan. The first
not getting ahead of myself. But...
Well, there we go. Steam reckons that the captaincy will be announced the next few days. Well, it kind of has to, doesn't it? The preseason games coming up. It'll be interesting to see which way it goes. So, yeah, very interesting. Lola needs to play 95% forward. Yeah, he'll do some forward work as well. Was there any other questions anyone else had? But yeah, so it's going to be an interesting trade and draft period. But yeah, 20 odd days away until the first Pracky game against West Coast. I think it's at 12 o'clock in the afternoon or something. Given it's a Monday, we probably will do a Monday night show. I don't know whether we'll do a recall of the game or whether we'll watch bits and pieces. We'll work something out. We'll do something in relation to the game. But we'll also do a show the week before as well, talking about the potential lineup too. But yeah, very, very excited to see that footy's back.
Now, we never promote gambling on the show, right? But I'll say this. I have placed some futures.
Oh, okay.
I got on, look... The odds of it weren't great for the first one, but we're paying $1.75 to win 2.5 games or more on Sportsbet.
Yes,
But
it's really low. I don't think lines ever been that low.
But the real one I'm excited on is you got to tip when what round you reckon Richmond's going to have its first win.
Oh, okay.
So I've loaded up a little bit on round 3 versus St Kilda.
Well, that's not a bad shout given their recent dilemma with injuries.
They're paying sixes right now.
I mean, they've typically had the wood over us, haven't they? Is that at the G or at Marvel?
I don't care. I'm looking at it now going Dougal Howard, Marshall. There's a few boys. They're pretty crook. They've lost Membry, their best full forward. One of the best defenders in battle got traded out. I'm going, maybe... If we get a little bit of a head of steam up, maybe.
We're probably going to be in our better element of football in the start of the season as well. Young kids hit the ground running, full of excitement. We're going to naturally tire, I think, as the year goes on with the younger bodies. That's not bad. That's not bad. Oh, gosh. No. Silver Tigers backed us at 50 to 188. That's a bold bet.
No. Silver Tiger. Oh, no. No. Actually, you know what? 50, for us to make the eight, I reckon 50, that's pretty soft. The reality is I should probably could have been 100 to one on that.
on the back of us having a line of 2.5 wins, yeah. Last couple of questions from James. How's Big Sims tracking? Is he closer to getting a look than Armstrong or Fall? I think he's looked okay in the training track. What do you reckon, CB?
Positive raps on this kid Sims. They're really excited. Particularly, it's kind of sent up the way he marks the ball at the height he jumps and takes it. They reckon they've got a really good one with Sims. They're happy with him. They like him.
I'm with you, Greg. Amazing would it be to just knock him off in round one? I'm not sure it's going to eventuate, but we can all dream. We can all dream.
Now, I'll just say this, right? I'll just say this on Carlton. CEO has just had to leave the club because even though he was not guilty, he had to step down. Guilty as hell, I reckon.
Yeah, it's a weird one.
So all of a sudden, Walsh has pinged a hammy. Kurnow's had a knee scrape. Mackay's hurt a shoulder. Who was the guy they got, number six? Who was the guy they got from GWS? Indigenous player, really good player when he's up and about. He's been injured the whole time he's been there.
Williams?
Yep, Williams out for the year. Williams? Nick Newman out for the year.
Oh, Newman, yeah.
Yep. No, there's two of them. So there's two. There's Newman and there's another guy. They've lost two out for the year. Owies, their third best goal scorer, has gone to West Coast. So there's a little bit. There's a little bit happening in Carlton. So they've got a bit to manage. What I'm saying is they've got a bit to manage right now when you're only 35, 40 days out of a season.
It's true. I mean, stranger things have happened. It would just be epic. It honestly would be. It would be. The RFC, he's bought in. He's gone early on round one, being our first win.
Yeah. Newman is the player. It's a good cause.
Yeah, Newman. Yeah, that's shit hearing those injury stories as well, to be honest. But
it's terrible.
You don't wish that upon any club, but it does open an interesting door of opportunity for the Tigers. We'll force a play early, Greg. I hope and think he will. I think he's going to get a crack at it. But yeah, good size on him. And he was a very big aerial beast in his junior years. So hopefully that can translate to AFL level.
And, get out the wrong yes, way. Thank you. Let's bring back Richmond Media Department. We know you screen this show occasionally. Give this feedback to Mr. Dunn and everybody else. We want the raw meter back. at least in a retro round, give us back our raw meter.
Yeah. And, you know, after we discussed that on the show, I put that up as a poll on Twitter, and yes, to bring it back won by about 4%. So there was a lot of people who didn't like it. And obviously we want the EJ with EJ's face on the raw meter as it goes up, of course. But yeah, there's a bit of a groundswell behind the raw meter. So yeah, Richmond Media Department, pass that one on, bring that one back, bring back the raw meter.
Fond memories of us getting pumped by 120 points, and we've kicked three goals today, and kicking our fourth.
That's the caveat. Is you got it? There's a time and place. It's not when we're getting pumped. It's at the start of the game when it's close. Don't roll it out when we're getting spanked.
Lorna Girlings, we've already discussed Mr. Bauer earlier in the show, and he is flying. The male is flying. Good.
Flying. Yes. Good. Will we play two rucks, Morgs? I don't think we will. Not when you say two rucks, my mind goes to Nankervis and Samson Ryan. I don't think we'll play both of them because if we're playing three tall forwards, you obviously got to have a fullback and centre half back. We'll be far too slow. And I still think that Samson Ryan, if he plays, has to be the number one ruck or it's kind of bust. So I reckon we'll do Nankervis with someone like Miller or Blight or someone like that doing the backup ruck.
And I'll just say this, Morgs, watch out for Samson Ryan, because apparently this year he's learned how to catch a ball.
I'm telling you, I want to say that I was first to claim it if it comes to life, that he will be our number one ruckman. Maybe not this year, but he might show that it's starting to take over. What I still stand by, what will be interesting is if Nate's captain or not and how that plays out. But anyway, sub rule is staying, yes. Sub rule, nothing has changed by way of four on the bench and one sub. I think a lot of the clubs were pushing to have five interchange, but it got knocked on the head by the AFL. So, we are still with the same set of rules in that sense for 2025, which is, yeah. Oh, Jeff Patterson with a good one. McCall of Rising Stars coming from 67 to 26. Yeah, interesting. Interesting. Anyway, that is a wrap for tonight. Thank you so much for tuning in, folks. Thanks for jumping on, CB. Appreciate it. As a little bit of a quick reminder, Big Footy Tiger Cast 20-centimeter mini PVC footballs have been ordered and are on their way. There will only be 25 of these footballs available in this initial run. I think they'll be about $15, and I'm getting a sample sent across. I'll put a photo up of, but the artwork that you've all seen will be what's on the ball. So they're going to be an absolute cracker to kick around. And the stubby holders are about to be ordered as well. So they might get here more in an April timeframe just because of shipping and things like that. But we'll put up some pricing and stuff on the stubby holders once we work at all the final costings and things like that. But we appreciate all the support on that. Like we said, any merchandise purchase, the money's just literally going back to the show, all the guys involved in it. We're just splitting it all. So any support is hugely appreciated, and we'll get some Tiger Cast merch out there in the world, which will be good.
Behind the scenes, Michaels was talking about buying another gold-plated yacht and having basically stubby holders will pay for the models to go on the yacht as we cruise the Bahamas.
So, that's right. Yeah, we'll do an end of year show from the Bahamas. That's right. But have a good night, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll definitely do another live show before the West Coast game, and then again on the Monday night of the game.
Give him a little bit of mail about someone who reached out to us?
Oh, you can. You do it. Yeah, you go for it.
So, just so our viewers know, we've had a gentleman from America reach out to us who does an Australian rules podcast overseas. And can you believe, mate, he's that desperate for talent that he's actually approached us to come jump on his show and talk about Richmond. So we'll have to be on our best behavior. Blood baths, no bathrobes. We'll have to actually set an example on this one. But so, look, we're getting a bit of an audience, and we appreciate all you guys for the love you give us. So thank you.
Absolutely. So when that comes to life, we'll let you know when that all happens, and we'll share the podcast episode and all that kind of stuff as well. But yeah, exciting times. We're growing and growing. We're getting closer to 2,000 subs on YouTube as well. Twitter's growing. Facebook's growing. It's all happening. It's all happening. So have a great night, everybody. Keep up with all the interactions on the socials. We love the banter and the back and forth. It's good fun. And disappointing we didn't get to see Tiggs in the leathers tonight. I'm not sure what happened there. Maybe did he text me? He might have texted. He had a migraine and fell asleep. All good, Tiggs. Hope you're feeling better, mate. I know that's still, part of the recovery and stuff like that. But if you could just send us a pic of the leather chaps, that would be great. And we'll put that up on the socials for everybody to have a look at. But have a good night, everybody. CB, thank you again, mate. And until next time, go Tigers.
Roar!
The roar meter, bring it back. Get it back.